Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 3, Text 143. Besha charitra dekhi loke chamatkar.
Besha charitra dekhi loke chamatkar.
Haridase mahima kahe kari namaskar.
Haridase mahima kahe.
Besha charitra dekhi loke chamatkar.
Besha charitra dekhi loke chamatkar.
Haridase mahima kahe kare namaskar.
Haridase mahima kahe kare namaskar.
Okay. Seeing the sublime character of the prostitute, everyone was astonished. Everyone glorified the influence of Haridas Thakur and offered him obeisances. Purport. It is said, Phalena parichyate, one is recognized by the result of his actions. In Vaishnava society, there are many types of Vaishnavas. Some of them are called Goswamis, some are called Swamis, some are Prabhus, and some are Prabhupada. One is not recognized, however, simply by such a name. A spiritual master is recognized as an actual guru when it is seen that he has changed the character of his disciples. Haridas Thakur actually changed the character of the professional prostitute. People greatly appreciated this, and therefore they all offered obeisances to Haridas Thakur and glorified him. This seems to be a very strange statement, the sublime character of the prostitute, because prostitute by definition means their character is completely spoiled, if they've ever had any. They are Brashtachari. Yeah. Of course, in modern Hindi, that means corrupt, but corrupt person, but it means one who has fallen from the proper standard. So, in brief, the background of this narration is that the great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur, was glorified by many people. Seeing this, one envious person, Ramachandra Khan, very rich person, local landlord, he engaged a prostitute to go to Haridas and make him fall down. But the actual result was that by the association of Haridas, the prostitute ceased to be a prostitute and became a great devotee. And therefore it said that by seeing her character, everyone became astonished because she was no longer a prostitute. She was a great devotee. And therefore everyone glorified Haridas even more. So Ramachandra Khan became more upset and envious. But what could he do? He'd done his very best. He'd very sincerely tried to break the character of Haridas. But, of course, sincerely is said here facetiously. But the actual result was that the character of Haridas, how deeply and powerfully Krishna consciously was, became even more manifest. So here it said, everyone glorified the influence of Haridas. Well, it's almost everyone. Ramachandra Khan, he didn't glorify. So, Phalena Parichyate, Srila Prabhupada often used to quote this. It is seen by the result. It is understood by the result. You can say that it's not simply by talking. You can say, my business is very successful. You can tell someone. But then if they walk into the premises of the business and see it's all run down and there are no customers and you inspect the accounts and you're all in debt, you can judge by the result. You can say it's a great business. But the result shows something different. There's the saying that the operation was successful, but the patient died. So it's, you may say we did everything perfectly according to the textbook, and it really went off well. All the doctors and the nurses were all doing their job very professionally, and it's a perfectly performed operation. But unfortunately, the patient died. So you could say it's a successful operation, but it's not successful unless the purpose was to kill the patient. But then you don't need an operation; you just have to slit their throat. It's much easier to do than have a whole operation. So you can judge by the result. In Bhagavad Gita, we see that Krishna, in the beginning, he talks a lot about, about not being attached to the results of activities. Sarva karma palatyaga, giving up the results of all the activities. Activities produce some result. Whatever you do, there'll be some result. But one should not be attached to the result, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. And he says that acting like this is better than not acting, or attempting not to act, because the whole idea of not acting is a delusion anyway, because nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatu tishtatya karma krit. One cannot be inactive even for a moment. The mind will continue working. Even if you put the mind in a very relaxed state, still, at least subliminally, it's working. The body functions continue to act. Even if you see a very peaceful scene, if you look out above the wall here, you can see trees and it all looks very peaceful. But actually, from the atomic or even subatomic level, there's tremendous action going on. It's everything's busy, nothing's still. So it's not possible to be inactive, but everything we do has some result. Even if Arjuna thought, I will leave the battle and not act in this battle, but his not acting in the battle would also have an effect, and have a very great effect, as he was one of the two main soldiers that the Pandava forces were relying on. The other one being, of course, Bhimsen. So, every activity has a result. And in Krishna consciousness, we're also interested in results. And Srila Prabhupada often spoke about this. So many people claim themselves to be great devotees, but actually, if you see what is the result? People may award themselves very great titles, but practically, Srila Prabhupada went all over the world and did what no one thought. Not only did they think it was not possible, but there was so much beyond their imagination that they didn't even think about it at all. And Srila Prabhupada did that. And Srila Prabhupada is very result-oriented. For instance, he said that the success of a program will be seen by how many books you distribute. So he may say, you may praise your spiritual master, but you have to act vigorously like him also. It's not just enough simply to praise, but you have to actually follow in his footsteps. After Tamal Krishna Maharaj left India, where Srila Prabhupada was relying on him as his right-hand man, as the GBC for India, but he left to go to America against Srila Prabhupada's desire. And after some time, Srila Prabhupada came to America and he wanted to bring Tamal Krishna Maharaj back to help him manage the mission. It was Srila Prabhupada was single-handedly managing it, and there was hardly anyone to help him. So Srila Prabhupada was very much wanting Srimad Krishna Maharaj to come back. And so he saw Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, well, now I'm preaching in America. And Srila Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you can understand that he could know what Prabhupada would say. What is the result? And in reply, Tamal Krishna Maharaj brought in, okay, come in. One by one they came. This is Bhakta so-and-so. He's distributing so many books every day. And then he'd go out, and then the next one would come in, and there were about 30 or 40 young men who had made devotees, and they were all distributing books every day. Prabhupada said, okay, you can stay. But if he had just come and said, well, you know, I'm preaching, and you know, I'm sitting on the grass and speaking some poems about Krishna, and some people come and say, that's very nice, Prabhupada wouldn't be very impressed. So there has to be some result. And from Srila Prabhupada, we got the motive to be very result-oriented, which to some people might not seem very spiritual, but it's all for Krishna, it's for fulfilling Krishna's mission. So it's not like being a businessman who's simply trying to make money. He's also interested in result, but we're interested in spreading Krishna consciousness. And in fact, although different groups have branched off from ISKCON, or members of ISKCON have gone to different Gauriya Mats and this and that, and they're also preaching, but they only got this idea of preaching from Prabhupada. Otherwise the Gauriya Mats were never going to preach in the West, and they were never going to be that dynamic. So this is our spiritual genetics, that Srila Prabhupada was very result-oriented. And this very common word in India, success. In India, people have got the idea of being successful. You have to be a success. So what that means in general parlance in India is you have to have what they call a good education and make money. And whatever else happens, I mean, you might have 5 heart attacks and your wife is, well, the word prostitute came, the wife's a prostitute, you're out working and she's here and there with the local neighbors, the dhaba wala or whatever. And your children, you know, one child's mentally retarded and the other one's a drug addict, but anyway, you made lots of money, so you're a success. That's the bottom line, as they call it. Where's the money? So, and we'll find that even in many cases, people are very caste conscious. If there's an offer for their daughter from someone of a lower caste who's making lots of money, then they become much more liberal in their caste consciousness. The main thing, that's the... and that's stated in Bhagavatam, that in... I don't... Vitameva kalonriyanam janma chara gunodaya. In Kali Yuga, money is considered the indicator of high birth. If you're born in a rich family, that's high birth. And of good behavior, of qualities, this money, that's all. You just have money. Somehow you're a special person because you have lots of money. So, for materialistic people, making a lot of money is the result that they want. Even they're such fools, or as Prabhupada used to say, damn fools, that they don't see that getting money doesn't make them happy. But that doesn't matter to them because they're so bewildered. It's just money, 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 money. What else? Money, of course. What else? What else is there? So for them, that's the result. And then you have to show it off also. It's by having expensive cars and big houses and lots of servants and sending your children to the best schools, so-called best schools. when you have an operation, you have to fly to America to have it, even though people from America are flying to India to have their operations. These are all signs of prestige that comes from money. So for them, money is the result. But for devotees, it's different. Sometimes devotees are misunderstood because we're also building big buildings. You may think, well, that's materialistic. But the whole point is that no, you are materialistic. And because you don't understand anything beyond big buildings and big show, then we make a big building and then you'll come. We'll sit here in the field and talk Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and hardly anyone will come. So we build a big building and we'll speak the same thing and many people will come because they think it must be very important because there's a big building. It's not the building that makes it important. The subject matter itself is important. But because you're such a damn fool, you don't recognize what's important. You think if there's a big building, it must be important. If there's lots of money or big rich people are coming, it must be important. And therefore, they'll give it importance. The same reason, says Srila Prabhupada brought, he was very interested to bring Western devotees to India because people think that Western people are very important. So if they take to Krishna consciousness, it must be important. There's no intelligence to discriminate what is actually important except on extremely superficial grounds. So of course a big temple is also to engage people in service, gives lots of opportunity for people in building it and then when it's built. But we ourselves shouldn't think that we are better as devotees or that our job is done if we simply build big buildings. Then the sthapati or the architect, then he could be the greatest devotee. Or the big rich man who pays for it to be. I mean, so many big... Here in Vellore is the temple that's in recent times it's taken up the most money to build it, the Golden Temple. All gold, so it must be... much must have cost much more money to build. But what is the benefit, actually? People don't get any spiritual benefit from going there. So we shouldn't think that simply to make some external result, that is the result. But the real result will be, as Srila Prabhupada writes here, a spiritual master is recognized as an actual guru when it is seen that he has changed the character of his disciples. So even having many followers, that's not in and of itself the result that we desire in preaching Krishna consciousness. Because many organizations have many more followers, such as the Congress Party, or if you want to get a little more spiritual sounding, there are babas and bappas and all this kind of thing. They all have plenty of followers. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who established many centers of Krishna consciousness in India, starting with nothing. Actually, he was in charge of that Jogpeet. He was, which was just one small building at the time that he inherited from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhakti Kuti must have been there also. I don't know the history of that, but that had to be purchased by ISKCON in Puri, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. But he inherited the Jogpit. But from the point of view of preaching, the Jogpit was in almost more of a liability than an asset, because he had to be there to manage it, and no one was coming. It was just a small hut in the... Well, it was a brick building, a small brick building in the midst of some remote fields with no easy access. And that's all. But he developed a movement all over, particularly in India, with many buildings. But he said that at the expense of all these mutts and all this effort that we put in for all these years, if I could produce one pure devotee, I would think my mission is successful. So that is the real success that we're interested in. We have to see. And not every activity... First of all, if we're interested in result, we have to see what is the desired result. I mean, definitely we want to build temples, and we want many people to come, and many people to take up Krishna consciousness. But the real desired result is that people actually become Krishna conscious, which, of course, there are various levels of Krishna consciousness, but the aim should be that anyabhidharshital shunyam jnanakama dhyanabhritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama uttama bhakti, in which there's no desire for anything else than to satisfy Krishna. That's... And the full stage of Uttama Bhakti is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, that begins with na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, and continues up beyond that to nayanam galadashudharaya and yugayatam nimeshena and ashlishavapa. This is the result. Even to appreciate that, if someone can, it's not that everyone's going to be on the level of Mahabhav like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If one is so spiritually advanced that one can even appreciate this, and not in a superficial way, like an analyst of rasa, the dramatist, they analyze rasa. There's the mundane science of drama, in which the mundane dramatists, they analyze rasa, but we are interested in bhakti rasa. Rupa Goswami has his contribution is the analysis of bhakti rasa. So if someone can has even the inspiration to appreciate that and to strive for that and to serve the devotees who are actually on the platform of not just rasa vichar, but rasasvadam. Those who are actually tasting the rasa, those who are actually rasik bhaktas, those who are ragatmika, then even that is a great result. For all the big buildings, if someone can come to the platform of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who didn't live in any building or whatsoever, or actually at one time he did, he lived in the latrine. So if you can come to, for all a big building, if you can come to that platform, it's not so easy to come to, then that will be our success. So it may seem contradictory. Actually, it does seem contradictory. People couldn't understand. How can this Bhakti Siddhanta call himself a disciple of Gaur Kishore, who is so renowned, and he's building big buildings and sleeping on a bed? Sadhus don't sleep on beds. And going in cars, Sadhus don't go in cars. They're not even supposed to go on bullock carts. Only walking. So when one can understand that they're both striving for the same result, and the result is something which materialistic people cannot understand, then that is proper understanding. Gorky Shah, he avoided materialistic people. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made all arrangements for them to come. And then he would preach to them uncompromisingly how their materialistic outlook is completely bogus. That also, Srila Prabhupada, that one devotee described how Srila, in Los Angeles, Prabhupada would say, bring professors from the university. So before Prabhupada came, the devotees, they would cultivate the professors and make friends with them, and then when Prabhupada, they say, come to see our guru, and Prabhupada would just blast them. And they'd go away, and he'd say, bring more. Who was that, do you remember? Yogeshwar, no. Maybe Bahulashva. Is it Bahulashva? Yeah. Amoga was another one. Yeah, in different places, devotees would bring big people. So, what is our desired result that we have to see? To change the character. Now our character in materialistic consciousness that is described that atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam, the desire to satisfy our own senses is called material desire, and the aim is to transform that to krishnendriya priti ichha dhare premana. We only desire Krishna satisfaction. So that is called prema, pure love of God. As Gorky Shah does, Babaji Maharaj, he also said the same. Simply to talk, prema. It doesn't happen. It requires great transformation of consciousness. So when we talk about an entity or an activity can be recognized by its result, we see that different activities lead to different results. Generally, building big buildings attracts lots of many materialistic people. Any big building, I'm not talking about just about temples, but materialistic people are interested in big buildings. Devotees are not interested in big buildings, but materialistic people are interested. Devotees are interested in big buildings to serve Krishna. They may also build them, big buildings. And different activities lead to, different results. If you, just like in, for instance, in a petrochemical works, the different way you, if you take crude oil or refined oil and you treat it in different ways, you'll get different results. You can get different kinds of polymers and plastics and nylon and all kinds of different things. So it depends on what you do, how you treat. Different activities produce different results. If you're sick and you take the correct medicine in the correct dose, in the correct timings, you follow all the rules given by the doctor, you're more likely to get cured than if you don't. If you're sick with a cold, then you're recommended to take foods like hot ginger tea and things like this, not to take cold yogurt. So obviously different things give different results. And the same activity, or even the same activity if done with a different outlook, brings a different result. Just like you can build a big temple, but if your aim is to bring people to Krishna consciousness, then you're going to have the result. If you have the idea, well, I'll have a big temple and everyone will, very opulent temple and everyone will glorify me, then you might get that result. You might not also, just like there's a big opulent temple here in Mellor where many people come, but they don't care about the Mahant. So you might build it with the idea that people will glorify me for doing so, but then they might also politic to get you out and say, well, there's a big temple, why don't I take it over? That might also happen if you're doing it sincerely. You may do it sincerely for the pleasure of Krishna, and someone may come and say, hey, I can take it over, and then I'll be a big Mahant, and I'll live comfortably, and people will glorify me. It may happen also. Do your service for Krishna very sincerely. There's no guarantee by doing so it's more likely that we see in the case of Haridas Thakur that materialistic people become envious. That's a natural result. If you do anything outstanding, either material or spiritual, then materialistic people, anyway, they're envious, but it just comes out. So you can expect that. We can't expect a very peaceful life in Krishna consciousness. Generally, people think you become a sadhu to get shanti, but devotee is not interested in shanti. Shanti is a horrible idea. What do you want shanti? We want to serve Krishna. It means we have to be active and busy and preaching. And preaching in the modern world means it's a great struggle. There's no easy way to preach Krishna consciousness if you're actually going to change people's heart. If you're content with building a temple and having people glorify you, well, even then you have to go through many difficulties. But if you really want to change people, then you're going to get opposition from them, from their relatives, from the society in general. But so we think that the desire for peacefulness is actually a great obstacle in bhakti. If we think, let me live comfortably and live peacefully, then we can't properly serve Krishna. That was Arjuna's mistake. Peace, man, come on. Let's just be peaceful. Krishna said, the hell with your peace. I'm not going to allow you to be peaceful. Even if you want to be peaceful, I'll harass you. So Krishna wouldn't allow him to be peaceful. And he said, even by your very nature, you can't be peaceful. Kshatriya is in Rajogun. There's no peacefulness for Kshatriya. Of course, Arjuna is a pure devotee, but he's manifesting as a Kshatriya. So Kshatriyas, they're not meant for peace. And devoted for some certain kind of transcendentalist, yeah, they may be peaceful like this. Ramana Maharshi, he just sat down. That's what did he do all his life? He just sat down. And what else did he do? Nothing. He didn't even speak hardly. So he was peaceful. He was peaceful in his mind. You have to be peaceful in your mind to be able to do that. But that peace, devotees do not think that's very laudable. What's the better to be a neophyte devotee and now doing some service for Krishna and spreading the mission of Krishna consciousness than to be a highly advanced peacenik, just sitting and being peaceful? We don't give much value to that. Of course, we recognize there are special people, anyone who can live like that. There are not that many. But devotees in a much better position from Krishna's point of view. So the same activity can bring different results depending on the attitude. And that's why it's said that even bhakti, depending on the attitude, you'll get a different result. That's why Srila Prabhupada writes that advancement in Krishna consciousness is dependent on the attitude of the performer. That's described by Kapila Dev. That one can perform bhakti largely being influenced by the mode of ignorance, or largely being influenced by the mode of passion, or largely influenced by the mode of goodness, or out of pure love for Krishna. And you get a different result. If you do it in the mode of ignorance, it seems quite contradictory, but it's stated there that one can be performing bhakti, but with a belligerent attitude to others, a hateful attitude to others. So it's not really bhakti at all, but some idea of bhakti to Krishna is there. It's not very pleasing to Krishna, but some kind of bhakti is there, but still very egoistic and thinking, I am the best and everyone should just do what I say, not interested in cooperating with others in any way. And this is in the mode of ignorance. So in the mode of passion, one is in bhakti, one is very concerned with things like big buildings and a big show, and doing that for persons in the mode of passion, that is the result. That's it. We build a big temple, many people come, that's it. But the point that people come and you're supposed to preach to them and make them induce them to surrender to Krishna, it doesn't occur in their consciousness. Then they invent philosophies, well, just chant Hare Krishna and that's all. And the huge body of Shastra that we're supposed to study, hear, imbibe, understand, practice in our lives, giving up material desires, just chant Hare Krishna. And it's all right, you can go to the movies and go to kami restaurants, but you just chant Hare Krishna, everything will come. This just encourages nama parada. And you may get many people to come, but it's all in the mode of passion. So it looks like nectar in the beginning, but later it turns to poison. Because it's not pure, and in the mode of passion, everyone's interested in enjoying themselves, their senses, and then you get the same situation as it's the materialistic. And in the material world, Ishvaroham aham bhogi, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. And in the material world, everyone is competing with each other because they all want to be the enjoyer and they all want to be the Lord. Lording, and then it makes all competition, more and more competition, and then everyone's just envious of each other. So bhakti performed in the mode of passion, it doesn't bring a good result. In the mode of goodness, then you get shanti and just do your own bhajan and be peaceful like that. But we see the lives of all the great devotees, they didn't have any peace. There's no instance. You see all the stories in the Bhagavatam of the great devotees. They're in the Bhagavatam because they weren't peaceful. Because they went through so many difficulties to serve Krishna. So the result. Why are we doing all this? Why are we taking effort in Krishna consciousness, building buildings, running here and there? Why are we doing all this? That should be considered. We may say in a very vague way, well, to please Krishna. Okay, that's nice. But you need to be more specific. Just like so many times people, or devotees, and others come to me and ask for blessings. And then I asked them what for, and then they didn't really think about that. They say, to be a pure devotee, or for their child to be a pure. So what exactly do you mean? I mean, are you sure you really want to be a pure devotee? You want to be free of all material desires? Do you want me to bless you that all your material attachments will be lost? Do you really want that? And then they start thinking about it. Gorky Shah Das Babaji, this one Manindra Nandi, the Raja, Maharaj of Koshinbazar, he came personally and said, "You please come to my home and bless it." And Gaurakishore said, no, if I go there, I might start thinking that I want it for myself and become attached and try to kick you out. But he said, "I've got a better," he said, "I just want your Vaishnava association." So I said, "All right, very good idea. So I have a good idea for you. You want Vaishnava association? So you just stay here, don't go back." But that he wasn't ready for. So we have to be very clear. What is the result that we, what are we working for? It's not just vague, to please Krishna, to be Krishna, to preach Krishna consciousness. And we have to understand by studying Shastra, what does that actually mean? It's not that you just, now we have what, the Choto Bhim, this cartoon. And what is that other one of Krishna? Little Krishna, something like this. There's great preaching. Everyone loves it. Watching this, Krishna is now reduced to a cartoon character. Along with Donald Duck and Tom and Jerry. Now we have Krishna too. Great preaching. But what is the result? Are all the great pure devotees satisfied with seeing Krishna presented like this? Did Prabhupada come to this world to introduce this conception of Krishna, or Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead, not just some entertainment for you, a childish entertainment? So all these things, they have to be considered and understood. Otherwise, for all the building, for all the effort, if people's consciousness is not actually changing, then it's all a bluff. That's all. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to speak of morphology and ontology. Morphology means, in his parlance, means the outward display. For instance, accepting sannyas. A Vaishnava is no need to accept. It's nothing to do with Vaishnavism. But you do so to impress others. Of course, there may be. There are attendant considerations for one's own attitude in Krishna consciousness. But the main purpose of sannyas for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was to preach Krishna consciousness. You can preach Krishna consciousness without sannyas. But the idea is that people will respect that, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas for that reason. So taking sannyas, building big buildings, having an organization, having money. Of course, we don't really have money, because as soon as we have it, we spend it. That was Prabhupada. That's what Srila Prabhupada taught us, how not to be attached to money. As soon as you get it, spend it for Krishna. But the ontology is Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premana. Everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. So this is the result that we're really looking for, which means a complete change of outlook. We cannot remain a materialistic worldly enjoyer. We cannot have the same outlook as ordinary materialistic people, or even pious people, if we're going to satisfy Srila Prabhupada and actually fulfill his mission. So we really have to understand this. Otherwise, materialistic people, in India at least, they think, well, ISKCON builds temples. But if we start to think that we build temples and we have festivals, and that's what we do. And if we think that's all we do, or that in and of itself that is the goal, then we become materialistic people. That's what they think. So the endeavor always has to be there, to change the character. No more personal desire, only desire to serve Krishna for His pleasure. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Yeah. All the activities that we're doing of preaching, is it so that we can make devotees that they can preach or that they completely dedicate themselves to Krishna? In different ways. Well, there's no real difference. We want people to surrender to Krishna and become pure devotees. Among those who become pure devotees, some may be engaged as outgoing preachers, some may be cooks, pujaris, housewives, teachers, whatever, carpenters, doctors, that may be their main activity. But the attitude of surrender to Krishna should be there. And for everyone in our movement at the present time, everyone's meant to be a preacher. But not everyone will be full-time engaged in preaching. But everyone, that's our mission, to preach Krishna consciousness. So some may do that on a full-time basis, and others may... Their main occupation may be something else. Who is qualified to hear? You're asking about the ninth offense. Well, this is a common misunderstanding. One should not preach the glories of the holy name to faithless people. One should induce everyone to chant Hare Krishna. But if you shouldn't explain in detail the glories of the holy name to people who may become offensive. And even if people are very offensive, you might not, if people are actually very much against that, then you may not ask them to chant even also. But to go into detail about how chanting Hare Krishna that delivers one from material life, that rewards love of Krishna, certain people become more envious when they're told about this. So better not to preach to them. But anyway, you can go among everyone and ask them to chant Hare Krishna. Actually, this kind of preaching, janma mrityu jara vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease, this is miserable. This is how Srila Prabhupada preached mainly. If you see how Prabhupada preached individually to people, he didn't usually just start chanting. He'd speak philosophy, basic philosophy. He wouldn't come immediately to the point, just chant. People may do as a kind of, they might do if they're pious, they might do as a kind of, they see it as some kind of fun, but they're not going to take it very seriously. Of course, if you say to someone, chant Hare Krishna, and they say, Hare Krishna, that's good, that's nice. It's good for them, it's good for you too. But they're not going to take it as anything more than some kind of unusual, curious thing. Then, anything else? Ladies, anything? No. Okay.
What is the most important qualification of a preacher?
What is the most important qualification of a preacher? Most important should be a pure devotee of Krishna. That's the best. Then you can say also, it should be surrendered to Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas in parampara should desire to uplift others. There are so many qualifications. You should know what he's talking about. You should have knowledge. Or Prabhupada said, even if you don't have much knowledge, you can just ask people, who is Krishna? Krishna is, then you tell them, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Main qualification is that one should be a pure devotee. No, that's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had. You see how things get changed? He had in a frame on his desk a quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One should be inside and outside the same. Now it became that he said this just before he left his body. There's no harm, you got it all mixed up, but it just goes to show how things do get mixed up. So what about that? What's it got to do with the class?
If that is there, at least people like me will not have any qualification to sit and give class to people. So whenever I remember that, I feel very...
Whenever you remember that, you feel very unqualified to preach.
I feel I should abstain from...
You should abstain from preaching. Alright, abstain from preaching. But then how are you going to become purified? Preaching is also purification. It's all discussed in that book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. I've discussed this point. Did you read that? Yeah. Okay, Hare Krishna. We'll finish now. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.